I think they like you, Steve.
Guess what day it is?
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. Have no place to go.
6:11 in the morning, 720 WGN.
Yes, I'm going.
All right, we've survived the rain. More is on the way. We're going to talk to Paul Conrad a little bit later on. Still flooding in northwest Indiana. High standing water, as Mary's been telling you about. And it is 32 degrees out there, so going to be some slick spots out there. Be very, very careful. I've been consumed by the Olympics. I know you've been watching, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I enjoyed Lindsey Vonn's skiing last night. She took the bronze.
Did you watch the whole way?
I did. I did. And I think...
I didn't make it.
She did. I watched until about 10 o'clock, and she's so admirable, and she's so good, and she's got to be so emotional, don't you guys think? I mean, bronze is fantastic, and she's crying, and I couldn't figure out if she was sad that she took the bronze,
no,
or...
No, she was... Well, first of all, she was asked about her grandfather, who built the ski hill on which she trained, and... passed away, had planned to be in South Korea, and passed away not long ago, and she was asked about that. She got emotional, talking about the fact that it's likely, in her mind, it's her last Olympics. Mm-hmm. There are some who think she might come back and give it a try. But
I mean, she's going to be 34 in October.
Yeah. And she's been through a lot physically.
And broke every single bone in her body.
And she was the only skier who didn't fall.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh my God,
they were dropping left and right last night.
Yes, those poor Italians.
How would you like to be, right? How would you like to be the people that were like, were there two in a row or three in a row, and then...
Yeah,
how would you like to be that person?
No.
Okay.
And it's one shot, right? I mean, that was it. Wasn't it one shot?
Was it the last one?
One run, yeah. I mean, they had all these training runs, and then one shot.
You know, and then I heard him, that's a good point, Mayor, because I heard him say early on, well, they couldn't take a training run, was it yesterday or the day before, because it was too slick, or they didn't want the snow to get messed up. It's almost like you're going in cold then.
Yeah, there were a few of them, I think, that didn't have a training run at all at the end.
And I also know Lindsay complained that during their training runs, they wouldn't let family and friends watch. Which is apparently not the typical protocol.
So they want friends and family to be kind of cheering them on.
Cheering them on when they're doing the, maybe it makes it feel more real.
Yeah.
Now, here were the comments from Lindsey Vonn's father after the race. It's great skiing, but it reminds me of something that Buddy Werner, a former skier, used to say. So there's two places in the race, first and last, and I only want one of them.
Oh, okay.
He went on to say she needed to risk more.
Oh, well, that's they're a pretty intense family, I think. So
Right? No. Is the grandma still with us? Because I know she was real close to the grandpa, and she wrote his name. I think she wrote something on her helmet.
You know what? I'm not sure about grandma. I don't know that she's. I don't remember her being mentioned. I do know Lindsay brought her dog though to the games.
Oh, did she?
Yeah. So there's. I think his name is Lucky. I could be wrong.
That would
about
be perfect.
That. I think you're right. Yeah, okay,
that's so cool.
She has a lot of dogs, but this is the one that traveled with her, so I think she's pretty amazing.
I said yesterday, I think I'm becoming kind of an Olympic snob because I want more tricks. I love the half pipe, both in skiing and snowboarding, and I love when they do the tricks. So I went home after you did the report last night, Dave, about the girl who came in dead last. What an interesting story. She just wanted to be an Olympian. She's born here, but she's skiing for Hungary because her grandparents are from Hungary, and she just wanted to be in the Olympics. So she's getting lots of people saying, hey, good for you. This is one way to accomplish your goal. And then, of course, the haters online and on Twitter saying, oh, great, makes it hard for the rest of us.
Yeah, that's I never understand that with the Olympics, how you can identify with a country that you're kind of from or, you know...
That you've maybe even never been to.
Yeah, how do you guys feel about that?
I'm not a fan.
I don't care.
Is it just because they want to be in the Olympics, so they'll just participate for any country?
Right, because they were saying that this girl, she's skiing for Hungary, and she's born here, but would have absolutely no shot
chance
at making the U.S. Olympic team.
I think that's a weird thing. I don't know. I kind of don't like it.
I foresee some rule changes.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I doubt it. I think they're very slow to change the rules.
It is
stuff
funny,
like
though,
that.
When they tell the backstories, they'll be like, okay, here's Mary Sandberg, born in, you know, Chicago, Illinois, spent your entire life here, but your great-grandmother and your maternal side is from whatever country it would be,
and
Norway.
A lot of the figure skaters were. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
A ton of the figure skaters.
Oh, it's so funny. Yeah, Waterloo, Iowa, born in, but you're skating for Canada.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's so fun to watch.
I don't know how much pride you have for your country when you've not been there and you're skating for them. But
yeah, exactly.
That's okay. But Lindsay Vonn is amazing.
She is awesome. You know, you look like her a little bit.
Oh, thank you.
If you put a little ski hat on.
I love when she's at the top of the round, when she's in the starting gate, getting ready to go, and the whole
the ritual.
Pumping herself up
with the
waving
gloves.
The poles.
My husband
you know what
last
reminds
night.
Me of? Yeah. Remember Nomar Garciaparra with the batting gloves, and he would readjust. Remember, Joe? He'd go through this whole rigmarole. Like a 5-minute spiel.
Right.
She does that too with
She's
the top
got a
of her
ritual.
Skis.
You should have heard my husband last night. He's like, just ski for Pete's sake. Just go.
Oh, it's
he
like
was
whole,
yelling at
their
the
whole
TV.
Warm up, their whole ritual. But what are we going to do next week? Closing ceremonies or Sunday?
I get back to my shows.
There's March Madness. Is
oh, there you
the
go.
Oh, great.
So it's all starting up.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
No kicks. With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Winter weather advisory in effect until 9 o'clock in northern Indiana. Boy, that rain came down, and it came down fast yesterday, Steve.
Well, yeah, but it stopped last night, which is the weird thing, right? Because the majority of Chicago... Unless, Mary, where? South and west? Far west?
Oh, yeah. South, southwest.
It's this.
Northwest Indiana.
It's greater metro, and it's dry.
Were you dry? It was weird.
I mean now.
Oh, yeah.
It stopped raining last night.
It stopped raining, but man, my backyard is...
I went to the store yesterday. I came out, and I had a couple of bags that I had to buy. And it was just a monsoon.
Yeah, yesterday was a flood.
Got soaked. And then it stopped about 5, 6 o'clock for us anyway.
And we kind of dodged a water bullet.
Yeah, we did.
Last night because the temperature was dropping and there was talk of freezing rain and an ice skating rink this morning.
We still have a flood warning in effect for parts of the Chicago area until 10:45 this morning. And there was a nursing home in LaSalle County right off the Illinois River that had to be evacuated. 47 residents last night were evacuated from that nursing home. And they are okay. They're in nearby facilities.
So the shorthand here is if it sucks where you are, we're sorry. I would say the majority of the area got lucky. Right? True? We have an agreement on that?
Yeah.
We have a quorum?
It
wasn't slippery this morning. Too bad.
Not at all.
No.
Yeah, it's not like we expected. It could have been a lot worse.
I ran as fast as I could and went sliding on the driveway for fun. And, ooh, boy, I tell you, pavement burn like you wouldn't believe. There's no ice. Item number two, President Trump calls for a ban on bump stocks. This is the same ban on bump stocks that the NRA said, oh, yeah, well, that seems like a good idea after Vegas. And nothing got done. Later in the tweet day, you know, there's a day and a tweet day.
Yeah.
Later in the tweet day, Trump also said, we got to take a look at background checks. He deserves credit for both. The cowards in Congress have to follow through. And at this point, the cowards in Congress have done nothing. But nobody's more cowardly than the Florida legislature. At least not so far, where kids who saw their friends get murdered live weren't even allowed to witness a vote to consider a debate on a ban on assault weapons. The Republican legislature then decided we're going to take up something more important, a greater threat to society, and then decided they would debate whether pornography is a public risk.
Oh, geez.
Also, it's a great message to send to the kids. Terrific message. There were some conspiracy theorists, because that's what the internet is used too often for, who also said last night that these kids were hired actors. If you partake in any of that, shame on you. There's nobody that can help you if you buy into any of that.
Brutal. And some of the comments that the kids, I shouldn't say kids, students made, they were all
kids.
Outside of the Capitol building there in Florida, rallying.
It's gut-wrenching. It's just gut-wrenching, and it's a shame. And the children have to lead the adults. And the adults, if you can find adults in Florida, you would be the first adults, at least in power. Next, thousands of students improperly won seats in CPS schools. The inspector general calls it a pervasive problem. So this is like if I want my kid to go to a particular school, What, I buy my way in? Well, how do I get my kid in?
You're supposed to test in.
Yeah, but what are they saying people are doing?
That people were buying in.
So who are they paying off?
That's the investigation. That's the question. How far up does it go?
Dave getting
money?
What
they're looking into. Oh, probably. And mm-hmm. it? Yeah.
Yes.
I'm sure he did. Mm-hmm.
Next. Carlo, I should say, Montemagno, chancellor of SIU Carbondale, getting criticized over revelations about his daughter and son-in-law getting jobs at the university after he was hired, as well as questions about his leadership. There's two ethics reviews there. That would be known as nepotism. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the only place we have it. It's just at SIU.
Oh, yeah.
And, wait. We've got it all the way to the White House.
Steve, he also used some of the money they gave him to move his daughter and her husband.
For moving expenses?
To Carbondale. And when they caught it through FOI records, he repaid that money.
Okay.
So lots going on down there.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem like a huge issue, but we let so much crap pass now that I'm glad they are making an issue out of it. Aaron Bauer, next. Aaron Bauer, wife of Commander Paul Bauer, wrote a letter thanking Chicago for, quote, an outpouring of love and support. She ended the letter by writing, "One man almost stole my faith in humanity, but the city of Chicago and the rest of the nation restored it, and I want to thank you for that." Amazing woman and an amazing family.
It was an absolutely beautiful, beautiful, beautiful letter.
Yeah. Incredible.
Everyone should read it.
And Karen Conti and I will discuss this issue about why this animal, as I've called him before, was out on the street. Mm-hmm. And then there's this. Listen, if you're going to London and you say you get off the plane, say at Heathrow, and you go, you know what, I'd love some KFC. Oh, not going to happen. KFCs in London, you would think that maybe they'd run out of the K or the F. How do you run out of the C? The C seems to be the important part of the operation. This, to me, is like Southwest Airlines running out of de-icer.
The chickens got lost in the mail.
No chicken. No chicken for KFC anywhere in the UK. They're out of chicken.
Yeah.
But if the C were the most important part,
yeah.
Steve,
yeah.
then why bother with the other stuff? Then why, I mean, what's... I don't know that it's the most important part.
What do you mean? What's more important
than
the C? Well,
because the K or the F. Because
you can Kentucky Fry K, a lot
yeah.
of things.
The K and the F are just, they're add-ons. You okay, can't have the K and the F without the C.
You can have the C have the anywhere.
The C. No, apparently not. Apparently not. Nobody's got chicken.
Not in London.
Would you rather know what the chicken farmers are doing across the UK. Right.
Would you rather run out of the chicken or the 36 herbs and spices?
Well, what are good, the herbs and spices supposed to do? They're just sitting there.
Yeah, but you don't want to give out bad chicken.
What are you going to herb or spice? You got nothing to throw it on.
You don't want herbless, you know, spiceless chicken.
I tell you
chicken.
What, take those herbs and spices, throw it on some cauliflower, and then tell me what's the most important part of that equation. It's the chicken.
Colonel is spinning in his grave.
Oh.
Unbelievable.
You do have good coleslaw.
What did we forget? I feel like before we opened this morning, we've forgotten something. Holy crap, we didn't order the chicken.
The chicken.
Top six brought to you by, well, you know, let the big voice guy tell you in a second what's coming up here in a couple minutes.
Oh,
you mentioned that before?
Yes, we
thank
did.
You. Thank
we're
you.
Good to go.
All right, so let's do this then.
That's it.
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more.
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
Karen Conti's on every Sunday night talking about the law. And she joins us here and talks about the law, because, you know, she went to law school. Hi, Karen.
Good morning, Steve.
Question came up yesterday, which has nothing to do with what I'm going to ask you about, but before I forget, because I will, if you have a will, do you need to redo your will? You know, say you did one 15, 20, 30 years ago, whatever. Should you redo it?
Yes, you should. There are a lot of new laws that might affect the tax ramifications of what your estate plan provides. Also, if you have life events like divorces, or you have children maybe you've had falling outs with, or maybe you have new assets that need to be placed into a will or a trust, you need to have that reviewed. So you definitely need to have that updated.
And the best way to do that is to go to an attorney, obviously, but you could choose to do it in one of those fill out the blanks kind of situations, but you don't recommend that.
I do not recommend that. I mean, it's just such an important thing. You don't want your family fighting forever. And one size does not fit all. I just don't believe that those programs can really affect what you really need to have happen, especially when you have laws in different states that are different. You know, you should go back to the lawyer if you're pleased with your lawyer who did your original estate plan, if that person is still alive, and have that person update it. Hopefully it'll still be on the computer and there can just be some tweaks made.
When you figure out who you're going to cut out, you mean? Like, you know, exactly. Life's changed, I got to cut this person out and that person out?
Yes. Who's on your you-know-what list, right? Right. Exactly.
So, all right, good. You're on every Sunday night. What time?
7 to 9, and I'm having a lot of fun.
All right, good. And how do we get a hold of you at your office?
Sure. If you have a legal issue, please call me, 312-332-7800, or better yet, email wgn@askkarenconti.com.
We have been talking extensively about the massacre in Florida and about the potential for new gun laws. Of course, many people start screaming, enforce the ones that are already in place. Both arguments are right. The ones that are in place, of course, include the ability to keep bad guys behind bars. So this animal is wandering the streets of Chicago and tussles with Commander Paul Bauer and shoots him to death and adds an extra bullet in the commander's head. For good measure, before he's finally taken into custody. How is a guy with a minimum of four felonies walking the streets?
We have a lot of people like that, unfortunately, and it scares everybody. These guys are career criminals. This is what they do for a living. They're in and out, and the laws, they know, you know, they get around the laws. They are out quickly. There's mass overcrowding in Cook County jails.
Yeah, but we're talking about felonies. These are not misdemeanors.
But the issue is that the judges know how overcrowded these jails are, so they really feel like they have no choice but to give people the low end of the spectrum. But the good news is that there was a law passed in June that went into effect in January that really lengthened the term of the range that the judge can order. So when you had something that went from 3 to 7 years for a repeat drug offender, now we have a range of 7 to 14.
But these gun criminals, I don't know if he was in jail on a gun crime, but these gun criminals that continue to get back out, who in Springfield is getting in the way of this? Because there's got to be somebody in the legislature who continues to shoot this down. And I've heard the argument before that it is unfairly tilted against minorities, and there's minorities who suffer the brunt of this. If you've committed a gun crime, I don't care if you're purple. You need to stay in jail.
I agree with you, because once you have a gun in your hand, the possibility of doing damage is so much greater than anything else. You know, we also have an inequity, and we've got a lot of people in the jail system that have minor drug charges, and they can't bond out because they don't have the money to do it. Whereas these gangbangers, the gangs post the bond so they can get out, and a lot of these guys are out on bond or parole when they commit the next crime. So I think we need a tightening of those types of laws. Where is this money coming from to get these guys out of jail? That should be scrutinized, as well as just having the judges understand that they have to give these guys the very longest sentence possible.
Karen, the sentencing guidelines you referred to a little bit when you were talking about 3 to 7. So this particular individual served 15, I believe, then was out, then was convicted and sentenced to 7, but out in 3. Is there any sort of a law or part of the sentencing guidelines that says if it is a second conviction or even a third or even a fourth in this case, that you can't get out? Because it seems as though every time they're sentenced at the state level, they're out in half the time.
Well, this is the thing that's insane, because if you get a traffic light ticket with a camera and you don't pay your fine, it doubles.
Right.
If you don't pay it again, it doubles again.
Right.
So how is it my camera ticket for, you know, going rolling through a right on red can go up 4 times, but somebody can have a crime like this and have their sentence cut in half? It doesn't make any sense.
Yes, I agree. And again, going back to the judge's discretion, there's so much horrible crime in Cook County, horrible crime. And I think these judges are at their wits end because they don't know, you know, who do we keep in jail and who do we not keep in jail? I agree with you. Anyone with a gun, especially an illegal gun, really needs to go away for a long period of time. But Andre, you were talking about the idea that they're supposed to serve 15 and they serve half.
Correct.
That's just the system. The system is good time. So you get one day for every day that you're in jail. So when you say 15, it really means half that time.
So the only way that would change, though, Karen, is by a law saying you have to serve out the entire. Would that be at the federal level?
No, that would be at the state level. And but you know, it's all about numbers. I mean, every judge knows that when you say 15, that really means half. I think that's a strange system, just because it gives you this idea that people are going away for a long time when in fact they aren't. But just going back to Bauer and that horrible crime, had the laws been in effect that are in effect now, he probably would still be in jail on his last charge. Wow. So at least we're seeing some changes in the laws that are going to keep these guys in jail.
But it's interesting you say this, because the obviously it's not going to bring Bauer back, but those laws were not instituted because of what happened last week. Where is the state legislator that's standing up in any way, shape, or form for Commander Bauer and Commander Bauer's family and every cop, and saying, we have to put an end to this, the way the kids in Florida are standing up? Where is the courage in Springfield to stand up and say to the governor in Indiana, you better damn well do something about the guns that are flooding into Illinois? Where's the governor? Where's Rauner on this?
Well, you know, Rauner did, to his credit, you know, I'm not a big fan, but to his credit, he did sign the law into effect in June, and it went in effect in January. So we do have, I mean, this doubles the range for people who are repeat gun offenders. So, like I said, we do have better laws now, and the problem is that the people who got out 10 years ago, 8 years ago, are still going to be committing crimes. So going forward, I think it's going to be a better situation.
And we still have to, I think, too, Karen, and Steve, I know you agree with this as well, close the loophole with regard to juveniles, because a lot of these crimes, especially these carjackings allegedly being committed by 15 and 16-year-olds, they're back out and committing crimes 2 days later.
And you know, you're
like
talking about
Streeterville.
And you were talking about the money earlier.
Yeah.
You know, where's the money coming for these people to bond out? Well, it's coming from the gangs, who give the money to the attorneys for the gangs, who then funnel the money to make sure these guys get out. I mean, you know, there's no secrets here.
I mean, you know, there should be some scrutiny as to where this money is coming from, because certainly you shouldn't be able to get out on bond because your gang paid it. That doesn't make any sense at all. But bond is something that's a constitutional right, and there's been some talk about keeping these people in jail with no bond. And usually no bond is reserved for people who commit murder or are threatening witnesses or something like that. But a lot of these guys have a constitutional right to get out if they post the bond. And maybe that system needs to be examined a little bit as well.
You know, Sandberg, let's get Sheriff Tom Dart in here again, because he's always talked about overcrowding at Cook County Jail. And to me, why can't we have a system of halfway houses for misdemeanors and put the bad guys in the cells they're taking up?
And how about build new jails? I mean, the Joliet Correctional Center.
No money?
Steve, there's existing buildings here, maybe Stroger Hospital, Joliet Correctional Center in Joliet. They want to turn it into a museum. How about refurbish these and build new prisons?
Well, again, it's money. It's got to come from somewhere.
Well, and I think we have to triage a little bit. I mean, some of these, like I said, the nonviolent drug offenders who can't make bond, those are the people that, you know, maybe we should look at and try to figure out something else. Now, of course, there are diversion programs and some really good ones now at Cook County, where people are going through boot camp if it's a first-time offense for drug possession or even small drug sales. There's rehab and all kinds of stuff. And those things work to some extent. But when you're talking about this level of a criminal, the guy who shot Commander Bauer, this is a person who's a career criminal, who's a danger. Whether he shot the gun ever before, he's going to shoot it at some point. And in this case, it made news. And I just hope that in the memory of this guy, who seems like just a wonderful man, that we may have some laws changed because of him. And that's what I'm hoping.
I got another Paul Bauer question. We come back. And also the Blackhawks in legal news this morning, too. 6:55, Karen Conti, Sunday nights at WJM. We're talking about the travesty of the death of Commander Paul Bauer. All right, so when they perp walked this guy all the way into prison and he walked in, Andrea, how many inmates allegedly applauded?
They said between 2 and 4 inmates, and they were quickly transferred out of that jail to a further facility.
And for people not connecting with the story, the point being that they thought he killed a cop, he's our hero.
Right.
All right. So any legal jeopardy for them, Karen?
Well, there shouldn't be, and I know this is an unpopular thing to say, but I'm looking straight at the law here. Sure. certainly the prison can move them. The prison can do whatever they want because they need to keep order. And if that was something they deemed to be putting people in danger, certainly they can move the prisoners. But the idea that there's been talk that they were going to use this as something in their sentencing or when they went to trial, use it against them, you know, unfortunately, as horrible and disgusting as that conduct was, it's First Amendment. Government cannot take action against people for saying things. So,
but see, that's interesting, I think, for most people. Your constitutional rights don't end at the inmate's cell door then, right?
Absolutely not. I mean, you know, that's the beauty of our Constitution. It applies everywhere and applies to everyone. And again, you know, unpopular speech is where you sort of start choking up and saying, do we really have a right to say those things? But yes, you do. Now, sentencing is pretty wide open, so you could, you know, a lot of things are said in the sentencing hearing that are pretty disturbing. But I think a judge would look at this and say, it's just not indicative of what someone should spend time in jail for. If this guy committed the crime, let's focus on the crime, focus on the victim, and put the guy in jail if that's appropriate. But, you know, saying things in a lockup with a bunch of other animals, I'm sorry to say, that's probably not something that should be admissible.
And the Chicago Blackhawks last Saturday night had an unfortunate situation in the middle of snapping that losing streak and a 7-1 win over the Capitals. The Capitals have a black player as one of their defensemen who ends up in the penalty box. Joe, what's the player's name?
Smith Pelly.
Yeah, Smith Pelly. So he gets into the penalty box and four people sitting on the glass start chanting basketball. Basketball, basketball. Obviously, the intimation there being you got to be playing basketball because you're black. The Hawks responded by appropriately moving them out of the United Center, and they've since been banned for life. Can they do that?
Yes. The ticket says, all the tickets say something to the effect of that guests who use foul or abusive language or gestures will be escorted from the arena. Their language on all these tickets is pretty clear. The stadiums can do pretty much what they want, and they've got a lot of discretion to do that. But I think it's interesting, and this is kind of non-legal, but, you know, this is going to set a precedent, which maybe is a good thing. On one hand, I know that I've been going to Cubs games forever, and I hear the most horrific things that people and fans say to not just the players, but to each other. You know, this sets a precedent now, and maybe that's good, but I think of this, Steve, and again, I'm not saying that racism is correct, but let's look at how women are treated at sports arenas. I mean, last time I was at the Cubs game, I brought some friends. I had a girl who was with me who was wearing a t-shirt and shorts, and she walked around, and I must have heard eight horrible female slurs directed at her that made her feel very uncomfortable. I mean, that's almost standard conduct in a Cubs game sometimes, right?
Well, yeah.
So why are we saying things about that? Well, I mean,
well, but are we? I mean, did you complain? Because I think if you tell the, I think the Dave, you correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes.
Standard operating procedure here. A fan complains to an usher, an Andy Frain. The usher gets security. The people are talked to or they're moved.
Yeah, no question. I think that's pretty much every venue now. And
this Blackhawks thing may amp that up even more.
And I think teams out of necessity are very receptive. I mean, they want you to let them know. And you can do it discreetly. I think the Bears used to have it where you could text any issues to a number, and then they would send somebody.
Yeah, because the language around kids always bothers me, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Exactly. I agree with you, because it should be a family outing, and it should be available to everyone. But I'm hoping that this will set a precedent, because, and that, again, not just to protect the athletes, but to protect the fans as well, who might be getting this kind of language directed at them.
Yeah, and for people that go, I don't understand, why was basketball such a big deal? Okay, let's put an Irish guy in the box, and then the four people on the glass are chanting, drunkie,
right.
Drunkie. Right. Drug and any other stereotype. That's the point. So we just need to be better. It's not that hard.
Yes, we do. We do. I agree.
Thank you, Karen.
You are welcome. Have a great rest of your week.
No, you. Karen Conti, she'll be on Sunday night. We're back with the news next at 720 WGN.
Hey, I know an Olympian.
Do you?
I know him.
Do you really?
Come on. You don't know any Olympians.
Well, I mean, I kind of know an Olympian.
Sure you do.
Okay, well, maybe not.
I know an Olympian.
I kind of know an Olympian. Sort of. got some great submissions yesterday. We're looking for yours at 312-981-7200. Unfortunately, we won't be able to take any texters. We'll only have to take phone calls because we have, it's been quantifiably determined now, we have the worst texting program in America, and it's broken today. It's a real shock to me. So 312-981-7200 is the telephone number. If you kind of know an Olympian. You know, Dr. Kevin Most, his brother, David Most, a big shot businessman, sent me a picture. You want to talk about kind of know an Olympian? Many years ago, he won the Michael Jordan Celebrity Golf Classic. Remember when Jordan used to have that every year?
Oh, yeah.
And obviously, Michael was there, an Olympic basketball Olympian, an Olympic Olympian.
Yeah.
Yes. And in David Most's group were Bonnie Blair and Dr. J.
Oh, that's cool.
How about that for a draw?
Pretty good.
Wow. Bonnie Blair's so cool.
Talking about kind of knowing an Olympian.
Yeah.
It's practically a gold medal.
Close.
A gold medal foursome, basically.
Oh, tremendous.
Threesome, yeah.
Speaking of speed skating, I met Eric Heiden once.
Oh, where'd you meet Eric Heiden?
At a bike race. Bike race in Northbrook. My cousin was there.
Was he into cycling?
Yeah. Well, all speed skaters also cycle. The majority of them do, because it's kind of the same muscles they use.
Oh, so they do it for a workout?
He had the biggest calves I've ever seen in my life.
That's what I said about him when I saw him. I said, ooh, look at the calves on him.
I was like,
what
say about you? Yeah, yeah, he must confuse your calves.
I've got good calves.
I've got good calves. I'm not going to lie to you.
He'd give you a run for your money, I tell you. I was 16 when I met him, and my jaw dropped.
I worked with Eric Heiden.
What?
Well.
Yeah, at the Olympics. Where I covered Bonnie Blair's gold medal and Dan Janssen's.
Was he a nice guy?
That was great.
What
he was the expert analyst.
All right. I'm going to one-up y'all now.
Uh-oh.
I met Bonnie Blair when I went to U of I in Champaign, which is her hometown.
Did you hang out with her?
No.
I mean, amp the story up a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hang out with her? Were you best friends?
We hung out. She gave me her medal. Yeah. She's like, hang on to this while we go to breakfast. I said, okay, Bonnie.
Did you go to Cam's? With her?
We did not. We weren't drinking at that point.
Cavs?
Cams.
Oh, I thought the bar was called Cavs.
Big bar.
I kind of know an Olympian. We'll go to the phones here in just a second. And also, coming up, I don't know where we're going to find time for this, but we have to bring it up. The South Koreans the other day at the Olympics shunned one of their own. Speed skaters shunned one of their own. And what they did was, it was this three-member team skate thing. And one of the three members wasn't fast enough, so they left him behind. Who did that remind me of? Sandberg. Miss Walk Ahead and Maggie Daly Park. Not just Maggie Daly Park. You weren't in Las Vegas with us.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We have this nice dinner with some clients. Everybody's fine. Sandberg decides she's had enough. She's going back to the room. We look up. She's gone.
Yeah.
She's gone.
I thought you were going to talk about at the stadium. You never told this story when she left us. So it was just me, you, and Stephanie, and where we accidentally ended up before we got to the hockey game.
Okay.
In the dressing room of their ice girls?
If she had patience, it would be an upgrade. I mean, any patience whatsoever.
Like, where'd she go? She left us.
All right. So we'll drag Sandberg through the South Korean mud at some point. But let me get some phone calls in here. It's Bill and Downers. Tell me about your Olympian.
Yes. Hi. Good morning.
Hi.
I know Carl Lewis.
What?
Back in the 80s, I was a fast guy, so I was invited to an invitational at North Central College. A guy named Carl Lewis was there, raced against him. He didn't look at me, but I raced against him.
So you basically what was your view, his butt or the bottom of his shoes?
Yeah, that's about it, and I determined at that time I'm an accountant. So.
Well, you're the fastest accountant, man. You got that going for you.
There we go.
All right. Hold on. I like you. Hold on. I like that, Bill. Let's go to Gary in Beloit. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning.
All right. Tell me your story.
Well, back in high school, I was a wrestler, and one of my coaches was Dan Gable.
No kidding.
For AAU, yeah.
I heard he was a good guy. Is he a good guy?
He has the strongest grip you have ever felt in your hand in your life.
Just rip your arm off when he shakes your hand?
Oh, pretty much. And nice, but the nicest guy, too.
Cool. Well, that's a good story, man. Thank you very much. Amelia in Park Ridge. What do you got?
Hey, I met Nancy Kerrigan at Comiskey Park.
Is that when you hit her with the black pipe?
That's right. You can take a picture with me.
Now, see, this is going back to the old Comiskey, because we're like four names later now, you know.
No. It was Comiskey. I think it was in the night. I don't remember exactly, but it was Comiskey at that time.
Okay.
And nobody recognized her, but I ran out of my seat and I said, aren't you Nancy Kerrigan? She said, well, yes, I am. And just very sweet, very nice.
She must have been just a kid. She was a nice kid, though.
Very nice.
Yeah.
You know, willing to take a picture and, you know, we chatted a little bit about nothing. But
was this pre-Tanya?
Yes.
Yeah, yes. Pre-Tanya. Yeah, there you go.
Otherwise, she would have been on crutches, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, at least for a little while. Yeah. Good story. Thank you for that. Appreciate you listening as well. Denise, what do you got, Denise?
Hi. I went to high school with Ann Henning, a speed skater up in Glenbrook North. And when she came back from the Olympics, we had this great big ceremony where she was lauded and they gave her the gold medal and everything. And then I had to play her in basketball in gym class.
That's a pretty good story. That's pretty solid. It's amazing. You guys have good stories. All right, Denise, stand by as well. And have I got time for one more? Did I take Sandy yet? I forget who I took and who I didn't take. This is where it gets so confusing for me. Let me go to Sandy. Sandy, I didn't talk to you yet. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Doing fine. Thank you. Thanks for listening as well. All right, so what Olympian do you kind of know?
I don't kind of know him. I really know him. I know Brian Hansen. I taught him how to read and write, math, and how to have manners because I had him for a whole year in first grade.
That's tremendous. You had a first grade Olympian.
I did.
So a little boy at six, do you see something in a six-year-old where you go, that kid's something special?
Oh, yeah. Brian was very involved in sports. He had wonderful parents who supported him and a younger brother who wanted to be just like him. He had this blonde hair and blue eyes and this great big toothy smile, and he was just a bundle of energy, if you know what I mean.
Thanks for being a great teacher, too. We appreciate that. Dave, explain who Brian Hansen is.
A speed skater from the northern suburbs.
Right.
Nice.
Short track, I believe.
A couple more relate here, but Paul's in River North. Yes, Paul.
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, when I was in college, I actually had lunch with Jesse Owens.
What?
Cool.
Yeah, it was really neat.
No kidding. How'd that come about?
Came to school. We actually asked him about the situation that when he was in the Olympic Stadium and Hitler turned his back on him.
Right.
It was tremendously cool. I mean, it was so cool to just sit down with eight people and have lunch with this guy. It was really neat.
Was it just you and a bunch of students or what?
Yeah, he was coming to do a talk, and my roommate was in charge of the entertainment when someone came in, so he invited me along and hang out.
It's a great story. Thank you for that.
I hate to say it, that kind of trumps everybody.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. Don't miss Michael Nesmith and Mickey Dolenz of the Monkees live June 14th at Copernicus Center. And the Monkees present the Mike and Mickey Show. This special show will feature songs.
Say that sentence again.
The Monkees present the Mike and Mickey Show.
Mike and Mickey. So Mike Nesmith and Mickey Dolenz.
Mike Nesmith and Mickey Dolenz.
Why not Peter Tork? What happened there?
I don't know the backstory on that.
We'll come back and tell you what happened then.
And if we don't
behind
know.
Behind the Ennit.
And we're going to make it up,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The show will feature songs from the Monkees' entire career. It'll highlight many of Mike's compositions, including some will be performed live for the first time. Tickets for the Monkees present.
Here we come.
The Mike and Mickey Show. Oh, here comes the story.
Why is Peter Tork involved?
I'm not sure about that, but I wanted to tell you about the Monkees' show.
What do you mean?
I used to, when I was in fourth grade, we moved to a house that was outside of our school district, kind of. So we used to take a bus to my grandma's house, and she had cable. And so on Nickelodeon, we would watch the Monkees.
The Monkees rerun.
And she got Chips Ahoy cookies, and I would heat them in the toaster oven.
What a day.
I know. So I would come home, heat them in the toaster oven,
and watch the Monkees.
And watch the Monkees.
I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah, it was.
This is why other countries hate us.
I always wanted to
because we get to eat warm Chips Ahoy and watch the Monkees.
I know, because my dad wouldn't buy them.
By the way, you know, in a decade called the 60s, when I was just a little boy, I don't know, six, seven, eight, whatever, used to watch the Monkees in its original run. Oh, yeah. But Chips Ahoy's hadn't been invented yet.
Okay,
yeah,
they were good. She had the best snack drawer. She always had that in a okie dokie cheese popcorn and then Slim Jims. So basically, I would eat poorly.
We have Monkeys tickets coming up, but no snacks. Stand by for that.
Continuing this commercial already in progress. Yeah, yeah. God, tickets for the Monkeys present.
I know, you really
the Mike and Mickey show go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. at CopernicusCenter.org and Ticketfly.com.
And amidst the Me Too movement trying to turn young men into part of the solution, you can see how it's working at one Chicago school. That's tonight's cover story on WGN TV News at 9.
The goal is to make America vote again. And by America, we mean all of us. The primary comes up on March 20th. You see a lot of commercials running for the governor's race, some commercials running for the attorney general's race. But there are important races all over your legislatures, the people down your block. Who is going to represent you? We are at a point in time where registered voters is, if not an all-time high, very close. Yeah. We also have virtually no one that shows up to vote in the primary. Now, why is that important? It's important because the people that do show up are the most ardent, hard right and hard left viewpoints. And the far right and the far left are not the solution. They're the problem. So for you to actually have your viewpoint represented, you need to spend 10 minutes online, 15 minutes online, whatever. Do a little research, decide which candidates are right for you and who's going to best represent you. Or if you don't really have a preference in that area, find out the ones you'd like to throw out. Mm-hmm. I was never big on the, you know, just vote them all out thing. I'm really close to that now.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Because of the failure in Congress and the failures in Springfield again and again and again and again. And by the way, and again. So we had 30% show up to vote in the primary in 1990. Mm-hmm. And you would have thought, well, it's got to get better than that. Registration has continually gone up. We had 19% show up to vote in 2014, the last midterm election. Mm-hmm. Only 16% in Cook County.
That's awful. Awful.
One
awful
in six
numbers.
Registered voters got off their tuckus and actually went and voted. It's extremely important because what happens is this is how you get your general election candidates. Mm-hmm. And if your general election candidates are two very extreme viewpoint types, well, don't be surprised. It's because nobody showed up to vote except the most extreme views.
Right.
You can always count on the far left and the far right coming out to vote. They will. They'll show up for the primaries. The question is, will you?
Right. And you've said this for years, and we've been saying this for weeks, too. Just do a little bit of homework. Whatever issues are important to you, do a little bit of homework. Find out how your candidate votes. And then if that's the way you want to vote, go for it. If not, you know, check the other box.
And I'll just throw this out as an example. I am not a Mike Madigan fan. I don't know if you're aware of that.
No.
I've rarely brought it up. Oh, remember, when you hear the crickets, it means Mike Madigan will not show up again on the 1,092nd consecutive show. And if you're the seventh caller now, Joe will give you a prize in the Mike Madigan game. But here's the deal. I would love to see a new speaker. And frankly, the Democrats should want to see a new speaker. He's had it way, way, way too long. He can point at Governor Rauner all day long and say, he's the problem, he's the problem. Well, Rauner's been there 4 years. You've been there 400.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So the fact of the matter is, you have ridden it down, pal. And Mike Madigan, at the most recent scandal story, may well have had one, two, three men who were close to him, who were working with him or for him, who were abusive of women. And he was aware of it and did nothing about it. That's what's alleged. That investigation will be ongoing, and they'll stall it and hope that you forget about it in the news cycle. But I bring this up because if you are looking for one issue, if you're in a district that's represented by a Democrat, and a Democrat continues, including the way the gerrymandered districts are, you know, maybe your Democrat is running unopposed. Mm-hmm. But your Democrat should be someone, if you agree with me, who's ready to throw Mike Madigan out. Mm-hmm. Because what will happen next January, they're going to have to vote on who they want to be speaker.
Right. Right.
I don't care how powerful he is. He has done nothing but gum up the works. And this is just one example of why Illinois is broken. There are many. So if you want to throw Mike Madigan out, you simply have to vote in this primary, and you have to tell the Democrat that's going to represent you, if you're in one of those districts, enough. Mm-hmm. The only way I'm going to vote for you, lady, guy,
person,
is if you don't vote for Mike Madigan. And I will remember. Maybe the gun issue is a big deal to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to find research on where these candidates stand on guns right now.
Especially now with all the research out there. Just Google anything. Google your issue. And how just how did my lawmaker vote on this issue?
Yeah, and if you're not sure who your lawmakers are, don't feel badly about it. Just put your zip code in and say who are the lawmakers for this zip code.
You shouldn't feel badly about it because the districts are crazy.
Yeah, people don't know.
We've talked about someone in Cook County representing someone in far Will County, far south suburbs.
Right. So it's vitally important for you to vote. We're trying to make America vote again, but we're hoping that you get out and vote on March 20th. Channel 9 may be chiming in with us on some of these efforts as well.
Yes, absolutely.
So thanks in advance to them for that. In the meantime, at 7:32, we're going to come back. You're going to give us headlines in just a second. At 720 WGN, we continue next.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I remember as a kid, I always wanted to go to Clarksville. Is Clarksville really a town?
Yeah, and I think, now I don't know, I'm sure a listener can correct us on this, but I believe it was a place where the military heading off to Vietnam, that was their last stop in the U.S.
So this is a Monkees protest song?
Well, yeah, sort of.
Seems odd.
I could be wrong on that, but I think that's the theme behind it.
I know we all turn to the Monkees in times of need. A pair of tickets to see the Monkees and the Mike and Mickey show at the Copernicus Center. It's Michael Nesmith and Mickey Dolenz. Now, I didn't know this. Michael Nesmith used to have no part of this. None. And I was a kid when we would play the Monkees. Like when we would pretend the Monkees, I was always Michael Nesmith because I had the hat.
Oh, okay.
I had like that wool hat thing that they always wore.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the end of the resemblance, by the way.
Steve, Tommy Boyce and Bobby Hart wrote this song as a protest to the Vietnam War.
Oh.
And they said, who could best represent our message? Yes, the Monkees.
Mm-hmm.
The Monkees' first ever national tour as a duo, the Mike and Mickey. I know Mickey Dolenz a little bit. He's a good guy. He's a goofball. He's a good guy. Fun guy.
Likes polo.
Yeah, and he's a really good bowler. Davy Jones was a really good bowler.
Oh, now Davy Jones.
Yeah, Mickey and I used to talk about Davy bowling.
He was my favorite. He was the cutie. I mean, they're all
weird,
cute, but
he's gone. It's a weird thing, right?
It's so bizarre.
But I don't understand why Peter Tork's not involved. I think we need a national investigation into the whereabouts of Peter Tork.
I'm looking it up.
You can hear songs that span the group's entire career from 1966 to 68. Went down for like 2 years.
Oh, I got it.
They've actually been doing it for 40 years.
Okay, Rolling Stone said that Peter Tork sent out a press release saying he's going to skip the tour to focus on his upcoming tribute album to Lead Belly called Relax Your Mind.
Well, we're all on the edge of our seats for that one.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He says he wants to focus on blues.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
Sure, there you go.
Blues the music,
Lead Belly.
Blues. Yeah.
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 Get tickets starting this Friday at 10 a.m. at Ticketfly.com or CopernicusCenter.org, but we have tickets to give away. What do you want to go? 720th caller?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Joe's so agreeable.
He's good, man. He's very good. Now, Super Joe, take caller 7. And congratulations to Fred, who won an Apt gift card.
Yeah, way to go, Fred.
Apt Electronics, keeping people happy and stuff since the beginning.
I
don't think that's the exact slogan.
Pleasing people.
All right, so I want to finish this story. So there's a team of South Koreans, three South Koreans, and they're skating. Three South Korean women. This isn't team pursuit. Speed skating. I don't understand this. What is speed skating team pursuit? First person across the line, that's your team score. Total time for all three skaters, that's your team score. I don't get it. Because it's not a relay.
No.
It's you're skating as fast as you can with your three-person team, and the other on the other side of the ice, there's another team skating.
Okay.
So they start and you start, but you're a half lap apart. And then at the end, I don't understand how they determine what your time is. It's got to be cumulative time for the three skaters, right? It's the only thing that makes sense.
I think, yes.
Is that right, Super Joe? Is that your understanding of team pursuit?
I have no understanding of it, but that sounds right on the money.
That's logical.
They do it in cycling as well.
It says the clock stops when the final skater has crossed the line, and the teams usually finish with all three skaters bunched together.
Of course they do.
So I would
You're the South Korean women.
Right.
On Monday night, three South Korean women in team pursuit. The two at the front, Kim Bo-rim and Park Ji-woo, crossed right after each other. Bang, bang. But there was one skater missing. Far behind was No Seon Young, who eventually finished alone 4 seconds later.
Ooh, and that's a lifetime in that sport.
Stop to get a drink.
Thinkable.
That's crazy.
Never such a distance between athletes like this. But No's tears after the race were ignored by her teammates because they mean-girled her.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, they blamed her for their seventh place finish.
Did she have a malfunction?
Kim said, "We were skating well." But she said, quote, "The last skater couldn't keep up, so we had a disappointing score."
Oh.
Park, the other girl, jumped in saying that she had expected as much with No, a skater added at the last minute to the team. Here's her quote. "It wasn't that we didn't think this would happen with Seong Young. We certainly did."
Oh.
They mean-girled her.
They did.
They totally mean-girled
her. They bullied her, kind of.
South Korea, very competitive nation, but the people of South Korea responded by being outraged. They want these two women kicked off the team. They want them punished for their behavior.
Let's just say that our professional sports teams acted that way when they lost. Mm. Like, what if the New England Patriots, after the Super Bowl,
booted Tom Brady,
had said, "Well, or this guy didn't get the job done"?
Yeah, or
so,
a kicker misses a kick, and suddenly you shun the kicker.
Right? Wait. All of a sudden, he's the reason we lost.
Yeah. Didn't Brady do that in one of the Super Bowls? He blamed the
was Brady's
Gazelle.
Wife.
Gazelle said that.
Gazelle. She's a gazelle.
Giselle
blamed a wide receiver,
right, for not catching the pass.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. But the reason I bring this up, obviously, is this ties to Sandberg. Now, I think we all agree, Sandberg, at her core, you got to dig deep, but at her core, she's a nice person.
She is just an amazing person.
Okay, suck up. But she has the inability to wait.
That is
just
true.
Absolutely, she has the inability to wait. And my goal right now is to make you a better person before you leave on vacation to Mexico, because my concern is you're going to offend the Mexicans, and we're going to have an international incident here.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that.
So Dave is still hurt by the fact that you left us in the dust last summer at mini golf.
I've gotten over it.
Well, so you say.
You did. It's so funny that you brought it up, because I was just telling Joe that I was given a hard time for being an efficient mini golf player and wrapping up holes quickly and moving on to the next hole.
But you understand that it's a social thing. It's not a how fast can I go thing, because I've got crap to do. We all have crap to do.
I know.
But we're all out there doing something social. So we're in Vegas.
Okay, this is a great story.
And we had a nice dinner, right? Did we have a nice dinner?
We did have a nice dinner.
We had a nice
Very
dinner.
Very nice dinner.
And we're walking back through the casino, and Jeff Hill, who runs our sales department, and some of the, you know, the derelicts that are with him, they want to go gamble.
Mm-hmm.
After all, it was 9 o'clock at night in Vegas. I mean, you know, about time to wrap it up. 9 o'clock in Vegas.
Night's just getting started.
And you were done. You had had it. We'd been up since 3 a.m. or 4 or whatever.
We saw each other for the whole show that morning.
Yeah.
Then we all went to the airport together.
Yeah, were done.
Andre and I sat together on the plane.
Right.
We get back. We all check in slowly to a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
We come down. We all have dinner together. That's a lot of togetherness for me.
Right.
I had had enough. And I was going to post photos to a photo gallery once I got back.
Right. However, here's what happened. As we're walking through the casino, you go, I don't think so. And then you just take off.
I know.
You take off, and all we see is blonde hair flying in the breeze as you're ditching us.
I felt like I heard someone say, "Oh, there goes Mary."
Yeah.
Like,
no, you did.
Goes.
It was me.
Yeah.
So this is my point. I know you don't think you're leaving that impression, but the impression you're leaving is not that you're efficient. The impression you're leaving is that we suck.
Yeah.
And that you don't want to spend any more time.
Tell briefly the story about, I thought you were going to tell, when we were at the ice rink, we were watching the Blackhawks play, and we were leaving. Or no.
We finished our show, and we were leaving. And yes, I have friends in the arena, and so
she gets,
there was a slow meander.
The elevator doors open, and Mary's out the door.
At the media, you know, up on the press level, there's a little snack area, and you guys all halted at the snack area, and there was a discussion. Mary, do you want a Diet Coke?
Okay, but here's the thing.
I'm like, I got to get out of here.
This is the thing that fascinates me about
you. I got to move on here.
Everybody has that moment. Everybody in their head, they have that moment societally where they go, "This is a complete waste of my freaking time." But everybody doesn't bust a move.
I know. And you know, if you, my family, when they're at our, when we host things like Christmas or whatever, my parents, they refer to it as, "Oh, Mary's kicking us out." Before I've even, I give off that impression, like, because all my tasks are, here's the task, serve dinner, We have dessert. Okay, the other task is to get you out now.
But sometimes you have to fake it.
I know.
Like there's somebody. Like there's somebody. I don't want to. There's somebody. I don't want to say who. It's my sister. who if she doesn't like a present for Christmas, she'll just tell you.
Really?
I believe there are times in life where not only is it appropriate to lie, you should lie.
I know.
Including I know. When you're in groups that are there for a social reason. And because here's what you could have done. You could have done this in the casino. You could have just said, you guys, I'm really tired. You go have fun. I'm leaving. It would have taken you an extra 5 seconds.
I know.
And or then, fake a stomach ache or
and
something.
Then, yeah, whatever you need to.
Oh, no. I just bowled.
No, she just
left. I just left, yeah. And as far as the mini golf is concerned, you guys, it was really hot that day, and you guys were moving very slowly.
Mm-hmm.
And you were like,
so you know you could have said, so you know what you could have said. Here's what you could have said. You go, you guys are really moving
competing.
Slow, yeah, and I've got to get back.
I was like, three holes ahead.
Here's what this reminds me of. There's a guy that used to work for me, and we would go out to lunch as a group maybe once or twice a week, and go, hey, we're going to lunch. You want to go? And he'd go, I got way too much to do. You go ahead. Okay, what's the message there?
Right.
I've got crap to do while you're slacking off.
Yeah. You have nothing to do.
There are certain societal things. You have to play along sometimes.
I know. Hey, I put an Elvis outfit on one day here, so.
Yes, she did.
I played along.
She did.
And the one picture we have of the Elvis outfit is you with an attitude.
But you know what? But we all suffer not by not having you with us, but then we all get lost because you're kind of the organizer.
Yeah.
You take off. That's when we ended up in the
I did
dressing
hear
room.
Steve
of the,
we ended up in
the,
Reno.
Steve
we wandered
said,
around. We ended up in Reno.
I heard
room.
Steve say, let's just take the stairs down from the top of the arena.
Yeah.
I'm like, you can't take stairs down from up here.
We went to the bottom of the arena, walked into the dressing room where the ice girls were, their ice girls, and Steve, and then Stephanie, and I stood there while Steve had to say, well, you know, I was going to wear that outfit too.
Yeah.
And
sure,
we laughed, sure. And they didn't quite think it was so
well,
funny.
She thought I was adorable, actually.
She did. Yeah.
But anyway, this is just an effort for you to understand.
Yes.
Understand, you got to play our games occasionally.
I know.
Right.
And just on the mini golf.
Oh, here we go.
With the problem was we rode over with Steve in his Tahoe.
Yes.
White
Lightning.
White
Lightning.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And then you got lost in the garage.
Which is no shock at all.
At Millennium Park. So we're like.
Stephanie, Mike, and I were there for a long time before you guys even got there.
Yes.
So I was really chomping at the bit to get this game going.
Okay.
Plus, we had to take video after video.
Yes.
Funny how that goes.
All right. So now that we're all better people now, I think, because
of
this
intervention. You know what would be a great episode of this show is to sit everybody on a couch in a family counseling session and just broadcast the thing live.
Right? Oh, my God. That's a great idea.
Yeah. Can you?
How long would that session, though, go, Steve?
God.
Because then Mary would leave it in the middle.
In a special 45-part version of the program.
Say we're going to be in Mexico at that point.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Kiss me,
8:13, Dean Richards, and I will talk show business now. Well, maybe. You know, sometimes we get to it, sometimes we don't. Dean, are you interested in joining Dave for his Fight for Air Climb situation?
I will be in attendance that morning doing my radio show live that morning.
Is that your excuse for not climbing? You'll be on the air?
I will need every breath that I can to articulate the words to, you know, bring the theater of the mind of what's going on there that morning.
I thought we could equip Dean with a wireless mic, and he could climb with us and do a show while we're climbing.
Broadcast while we're climbing.
Yeah,
from each ledge.
Yeah, that's a terrible idea.
From each landing. So here's what, you know the Olympics being on now and being the focus of so many folks.
Yes.
Prior to the Olympics, you run the flame for thousands of miles.
Yes.
Before you light the flame. I will be, I've decided I'm not coming to your event, Dave. I was going to bring the check down, actually present the check in person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually going to have the check run to the city. in much the way the Olympic flame is run and then dropped off.
Like a relay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you'll hand it off to different people who will then eventually get it there.
And they'll eventually drop it off.
Yeah.
Yeah, that should be good, having somebody running with a check through Chicago.
Yeah.
What could go wrong with that?
Yeah,
and if you hand it to a millennial, they'll say, what's this?
Well, for tourists in town right now, the one thing you want to do is if you get confused about where you are or whatever, just hold up your wallet and go, I'm lost and I have money. Yeah.
I'm a tourist. I'm a tourist. I'm lost and I have a lot of cash in my
pocket. I have money. Please help me.
Right.
Fightforairclimb.org to join Dave's team.
It's Sunday, March 11th, Steve.
Or Patty's team, for that matter.
If you want.
Yeah, okay. There you go.
Who else will be climbing?
That's it, just Dave.
Mary Vanderbilt.
I'm climbing. Come on, Dean.
Patty usually climbs.
She yeah, Patty's climbing. No, I just said that. Yeah. What show are you getting? I just said that. Patty's the other thing.
Yeah.
Eddie and Jobo, what?
By the way, I want to apologize. We ran out of time for Paul Conrad last hour.
Oh.
So we hope to have him on the show.
I saw him crying in the hallway. I wondered what went on.
Good cut.
David Letterman was in town yesterday. We'll talk about that. Clooney and Oprah and a whole bunch of celebrities donating a whole bunch of money. More Black Panther news. I think Dean's starting to get payoffs from that company. He keeps bringing this movie up.
Clearly, nobody went to see it last weekend.
Three big concerts announced, a new Magnum PI, Tavis Smiley, a whole bunch of stuff in the news. I'm having trouble hearing you. Are you on the other side of the newsroom?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm in exactly the same place I always am.
I have this microphone turned up as loud as it'll go. Joe, let me go to Super Joe on this. Super Joe, do we have a technical issue?
I will check with engineering.
Oh, that's good, because they've been all over it all morning.
Indeed.
It was fixed in a couple of weeks, don't worry.
So,
really? You're having a problem?
Yeah, the engineering folks here are under a little bit of pressure, because all they're trying to do is get the White Sox on the air and wire us into a new building. Mm-hmm. So they got a lot going on.
Let me just check to make sure. It looks like everything is the same here, but
same,
somebody did
same
mess
Dixie
with my
cup?
Stuff. Somebody did mess with all my stuff, which I hate.
Don't tell the engineers, especially this week.
Yeah, they're under a little stress.
They're not happy.
They're under a little stress.
Testing.
See,
one,
there
two.
You go. Now you're back.
Ooh. One, two, three. One, yeah. two, three.
You just got louder.
Sexy
yeah,
voice.
You got louder. I don't know what happened there. So we'll come back, and maybe we'll hear Dean. Maybe we won't. But he's going to send us the entertainment report by semaphore, and we'll translate it.
Semaphore.
By what?
Semaphore. Do you know at one time I knew semaphore?
For what? Were you an Eagle Scout?
I wasn't an Eagle Scout, but I was a Boy Scout.
It's a language with flags.
Ah.
Yes.
Fun with flags.
Into flags, right? Semaphore?
Yep.
It's 8:07.
Sending you a message Morse right code? Now in flags.
When you guys were young.
Hold on. I'm trying to remember my semaphore. I'm seeing Dean's message. It's something about a truck.
Was it when you guys...
Truck, very close.
Was it when you guys...
Truck Sue. It makes no sense. Truck Sue.
Maybe I'm a little rusty with it. I haven't done it in a long time.
It says Truck Sue. Maybe Sue's truck is missing. I don't know what that is.
I also knew Morse code when I was a Boy Scout. I'll try sending it that way.
Was that when Ma and Pa would drive you into the town square and the town crier would be there?
Yes, that would be... That. Yes.
Steve
well,
I
this is weird. I'm getting a Morse code message from Dean now that says beat... Twit. I don't know what beat twit is either. That doesn't seem to make sense.
Oh, God.
I am a little rusty. It's been a few years.
Very, very weird.
Since I've did it and dod.
Something about Sue's truck and a twit beating. I don't know what's happening.
And there go all of our 30-year-old listeners.
No, they're
30.
Bye-bye.
How about 80?
Yeah, they're laughing. Oh, Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 9 and 7. Back to Dean.
Man,
I'm told that David Letterman's beard was seen in the city yesterday.
It was moving down Michigan Avenue like a float in the Thanksgiving Day parade.
Why was his beard here?
His beard was here because apparently he was shooting episodes of his new talk show that is on Netflix.
Yeah, have you seen it, by the way? It's entertaining.
I have seen only the first episode with Barack Obama. The George Clooney episode is streaming right now, but he's announced a lineup of guests.
It's got Howard Stern coming up, and this was a Buddy Guy?
Well, we're not 100% sure, because they never announced Buddy Guy as one of his upcoming guests.
They did early. It was in the original press release.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I looked everywhere. I couldn't find it. Mm-hmm. But so they were filming at Buddy Guy's Legends yesterday on Wabash. But also they went to the Athenian Room restaurant on Webster And that's a place that Tina Fey used to hang out. Tina Fey was also announced as one of the guests. So, you know, and she lived here for a long time. She was at Second City. Maybe they did some Tina Fey and also some Buddy Guy while they were here. But he was at both places and taking selfies with people, by all accounts, very, very, very nice to people.
Yeah, it's too bad Larry Bud Melman's not alive. He would have been a great guest.
Dave ended a big fan of the Athenian Room.
I mean, I've been there. I didn't say
Well, let's go to the Greeks.
You love
Wait, no, let's go to the Greeks. You and Dean, you like it?
I enjoy Athenian Room. They have excellent Greek chicken with a Greek fries.
Wait, they have Greek chicken?
Greek, yeah.
Yes. Just add some lemon and oregano.
Hey, speaking of chicken, wait till you hear this. Dean's going to London. Do you know that KFC's out of chicken all over the UK?
I'm thinking about canceling the trip because of that.
I brought this up this morning. You look at KFC, lose the K, lose the F. You got to have the C.
I think so.
The chicken's got to be. You can't have a chicken restaurant with no chicken.
This is going to be very disappointing to a lot of people who are there because, as anyone knows who's been to London or really any place in Europe, the restaurants with the longest lines, KFC, mm-hmm. McDonald's, Pizza Hut, Subway.
Yeah, Dave Kaplan, our old friend Dave Kaplan, is going to London, separate from Dean, because, you know, it'd be weird.
That's how rumors get started.
But he looks like a chicken. He could be cooked when he gets there.
Looks like a chicken.
A big, muscular chicken.
You were talking about the Letterman show. You guys should watch the Clooney episode, because it's really good. But my favorite thing about the Barack Obama one is mm-hmm. when he's describing dropping his daughter off at college and how they assigned him to put together a lamp that was only three pieces, but it took him, like, a really long time because he didn't know how to assemble a lamp.
That was a very charming interview.
But could you imagine, for 8 years, you've had everything done for you, and now you're putting together an IKEA lamp or whatever the heck it was. Of course he doesn't know how to put together.
And I think he said it highlighted, like, her sister was helping, Michelle is helping, but the dad is just useless standing there. So that's why they assigned him.
That's always a good feeling.
Typical, yeah. I know. That's I figure you've been there.
It's a nice emasculating feeling.
1 minute you're the most powerful man in the world. Yeah. The next minute you're a dope standing in the corner that nobody wants to talk to.
And your daughter, wife, and other daughter are disappointed in you.
You can't put an IKEA lamp together.
Clooney came up there. Clooney, Oprah, and a list of other celebrities are giving big money to this anti-gun march coming up. What's the story?
Yeah, Steven Spielberg, producer Jeffrey Katzenberg, among others, George Clooney and Amal Clooney donating all of them $500,000 apiece to the... There's always inappropriate laughing.
Yeah, it's really poorly timed.
Anti-gun march where children are laughing and people in the newsroom not paying one bit of attention to me are laughing inappropriately.
They have no respect.
But they donated, each of them donated $500,000 to this anti-gun march.
So that's $2 million just from those four?
Just from those four people for the march. It'll be in Washington, D.C. Clooney says he was inspired by the students at Stoneman Douglas High School. And I got to say, watching the news, those kids are impressive.
They're incredible.
They absolutely are.
So and the eloquent. And
gutless cowards in the Florida legislature wouldn't even take up a vote on having a debate.
I can't believe that.
They wouldn't consider a debate with those kids in the room. Now, they didn't have the guts to have the kids on the floor and face them. Mm-hmm. The kids had to be upstairs in the gallery. But just complete cowards who then proceeded to take up a vote on whether or not porn was a threat to the people of Florida.
Right.
Maybe they could take the guns and shoot the porn.
Yeah.
Well, those kids aren't going away, so they can run, but they can't hide. Those kids seem pretty determined.
They're tremendous, and unfortunately, they have to do the work their grown-ups won't. So good for Clooney and Oprah and everybody.
Yep.
What's going on with Black Panther?
Black Panther director Ryan Coogler did something that most directors do not do. He very politely wrote a thank you letter to everyone who went to see the movie this weekend. It wound up making $242 million over the holiday weekend.
It's a lot of stamps.
He posted a letter. He didn't actually write 242 million letters. Just imagine licking all those stamps to send out a thank you note.
Your tongue wouldn't be right again.
But he said in the letter, never in a million years did we imagine we would come out this strong. It humbles me to think that people care enough to spend their money and time watching our film.
That's nice.
But to see people of all backgrounds wearing clothing that celebrates their heritage, taking pictures with our posters of family and friends, and sometimes dancing in the lobbies made my moved my wife and I to tears.
He's a kid too, isn't he?
He's 31 years old.
Wow. How did he get such you know, thump that a studio would trust him with a major movie at 31?
I don't know the answer to that question, because his two films that you've heard of are Creed, the last Rocky movie, mm-hmm. which they're working on the sequel right now, and Fruitvale Station. Neither one a big budget movie anywhere near the scope of this this film.
Because basically you're sitting down with producers and major studios, and you're going, okay, we're going to give you $200 million, and you're going to make a movie. And we know you're going to go over budget and ask for $50 million more.
Yeah.
And you're 31, and you've never had a big money hit. That's amazing.
Yeah, and you're gonna make an action hero movie unlike any action hero movie that's been made before. Kind of risky.
Yep.
And Disney Marvel went along with it.
Have you met him?
Very nice guy. I'm actually running my full interview with him this coming Sunday on my radio show.
On this station?
On WGN 720 AM.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
Yep.
You guys know you can't buy stamps that peel off, too, by the way.
What?
You don't have to lick all those.
I get those kinds you peel off, but I still lick them.
I think it's good. That way you can make sure that they stay. Yeah. Oh, you lick the front. That seems like a little over the top. Why is Tavis Smiley suing PBS?
Well, Tavis Smiley got fired by PBS.
Hey, if I sued everybody I got fired from, I'd be in court all damn day.
You wouldn't have time to do the show. That's very true. But he got fired for alleged sexual harassment charges. He says it was all consensual relationship with co-workers. PBS disagreed and let him go. But now he's suing them, claiming that PBS trumped up the charges. It's costing him millions of dollars. He's also alleging that PBS created racial tensions at their network and tried to block African-American guests with controversial positions from coming on his show.
Oh, boy.
PBS says a lawsuit is meritless.
New Magnum PI coming up. Are they going to ask me to do the Tom Selleck role?
Well, I had heard that you had turned it down.
Twice.
Yeah, so I think they went with somebody else. I know they went with somebody else with this. Who is the actor named Jay Hernandez? Are you familiar with him?
Not familiar with Jay Hernandez.
He was one of the husbands in that awful movie, Bad Mom's Christmas.
Okay.
That came out. He's been in a few action movies.
Handsome fellow, I assume?
Very, very handsome fellow. Starred on Scandal in Nashville and some other roles. The premise this time will be that Magnum, the new Magnum, is a ex-Navy SEAL who has just got back from Afghanistan and now has set up a private detective agency in Hawaii.
Man, it'd be cool if Selleck does a walk-on.
I would love that. Yeah. What's the name of his show that's also on CBS?
Blue Bloods.
Yeah, so I'm sure he's on the same network.
On three big concerts.
Eagles.
Oh, nice.
Coming to Chicago. They will be here fairly soon, actually. The Eagles will be here on March the 14th. Tickets for that are going to go on sale on March the 2nd.
That'll be the Steve Cochran birthday.
Todd Rundgren is going to be coming to Chicago. He's going to be at the Chicago Theater in May, and tickets for that are going to go on sale this coming Friday. And Radiohead will be in Chicago. They're going to be at the United Center July 7th, and tickets for that also going on sale Friday morning.
Eagles tickets on sale the 2nd. You said, where are they playing? Chicago Theater?
United Center.
Oh, United Center. Okay.
Interestingly, you know, because Glenn Frey passed away a couple of years ago, touring with Don Henley, Joe Walsh, and Timothy B. Schmidt, Vince Gill, and also Glenn Frey's 23-year-old son, Deacon Frey.
Oh, that's
pretty cool.
Yeah.
I love Vince Gill's voice, man. It's tremendous. Thanks, Dean.
See you.
See you. And back with the headlines next on 720 WGN, then Duncan Keith.
To break it right point to Keith. High slot now to the left circle to Taves. Turning away to the board. Sets up Keith left point. Lines up. Fire. Score! His first goal of the year! Duncan Keith, no goals in his past 67 games. Lights the lamp on a Hawk power play. It's 1-0 Hawks.
Let's go.
3-2-1.
The Steve Cochran Show presents Breakfast with a Blackhawk, sponsored by MB Financial Bank. MB means business.
.43, we're efforting Duncan Keith, which means we're trying to find him. But in the meantime, let me plug his event, Keith Relief. The Chicago Blackhawks Foundation and Duncan Keith holding the annual charity concert. Keith Relief, Monday, February 26th. Starts at 7 o'clock. You'll be home by, you know, 11:15.
Yeah.
It's at Joe's on Weed Street and features Low Cash.
I've been to four of these events.
They're great.
Keith Relief's, they're the best time.
Yeah, yeah, great.
I love that venue.
He's probably there now doing a sound check.
Probably, yeah.
All proceeds benefit Keith Relief and the Ronald McDonald House Charities of Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana. VIP reception prior. You know, like from the first hour from 7 to 8. Meet the band. Meet a lot of Hawks. Say hi to Dunks. Silent auction throughout the event. General admission, it's only $80.
That's
cheap for an event like this.
Really good.
What you get.
Yeah.
And you can get, sometimes the players are mixing drinks. I think Jalmerson made me a cocktail last year.
Is that why he's in Phoenix now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it called the Hammer?
You know what? I don't think he had to ask me what to put in it. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
That would make sense. This is why you know your booze. You're so good with booze.
It's totally un-booze related.
Right. VIP tickets, $275. That's for the deal up front and all of that. And plus, you get to take one of the Hawks home.
That's
not accurate.
That's cool.
Tickets available as of last Friday, and there's still a few left, but not a lot. You can go to DuncanKeith.com/Keith-Relief-Concert.
I love my boots broken. I love my camo hat. Don't mind a little paint on my jeans. Yeah, I roll like that. I love driving my truck across a railroad track. If you hit it too quick, it'll hit you right back. A fresh cut feel with a first frost on, how it shines like gold in the sun.
Low Cash, I love this life. As Duncan Keith joins us, we were just talking about Keith Relief, the concert, Dunks, and welcome to the program. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, congrats on another big party you're about to throw. This is a great thing. You know, it started off, Dave, I don't know if you remember, Dunk's first party, it was just him and three other guys. Now, it's Joe's on Weed Street, and it's a huge event, so you should be very proud of that.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate it. It's come a long way. I've obviously had a lot of help. Ashley Hinton, who works for our hockey team, she does a lot of work for this, so I appreciate the help that she gives and all a lot of the other front office staff that help out too, so it should be fun. I'm excited about it.
By the way, I think I mentioned this, but in case I didn't, Ronald McDonald House Charities is of Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana, part of the folks that benefit from this. And you know, look, what's more worthy than Ronald McDonald House taking care of families when their kids are sick and all that? How you doing?
I'm doing okay. It's been obviously a frustrating year on the ice and where we're at and the standings, and so that's been different. But other than that, things are good. I got spending lots of time with my son and enjoying time with him. But it'd be nice to get a few more wins.
Sure. How old is that little squirt now?
He's 4 years old now. So
and has he got any tips? Is he going, hey, Dad, maybe if you guys do this or that, is he helping?
Yeah, a little bit. There, on the drive home after the game, there he asked me if we're trying to lose sometimes. No, we're not trying to lose. But yeah, so he enjoys going to the games, and he's always happier after a win.
Sure. Talking to Duncan Keith, I think, you know, that's one of the frustrating things, right? I mean, I'm lucky enough to know you guys a bit and you know, go out skating their fannies off. And when you're used to winning, it's not just that you guys raise the bar for us as fans. You raise the bar for you guys as a team.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
No, exactly. I mean, it's you know, we've had a lot of success in the past, and that's I'm sure it's frustrating. You know, as players, we're so focused on what's in the room, but we know that, you know, the standard's there, and it obviously hasn't been met this year, so it's disappointing. It's a feel for the fans. I know that they're used to watching, a lot of you know, good hockey and a lot of championship caliber teams. So obviously we've got our work cut out for us to be better and figure out a way to do that.
Yeah, and it ain't over until the fat lady sings, and the fat lady's not even in line for pizza yet. You know what I'm saying,
right,
Dave Ennett?
That's right. Yes, I do.
Okay.
Duncan, it seems like this last week was kind of the season in a nutshell, because it's against Anaheim. You get the goal. You guys get out to a lead. And even though you ended up losing the game, the game had a better feel to it. Then you have a terrific performance against Washington. But then you get the Kings, and it seemed like just from the start, you weren't quite there. Does that kind of sum up in your mind the way the season's gone for you?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there hasn't been a whole lot of consistency. Usually to have some success in the league, you have to be consistent. So
sure,
everybody knows how close teams are in the league and the parity across the board. So the one thing you need to have is that consistency, and that can be a difference for sure. So
I have to ask you, as a two-time Olympic gold medalist, do you miss it this year?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I was watching it the other day, thinking back to some of the memories I had of being first time in Vancouver in 2010,
yep.
and then the last one in Russia, Sochi. So, it was an amazing experience, and just being able to go to one, and then, you know, and be able to go to the one in Russia as well. So getting two, and then obviously topping it off to win both of them. So for me, it's a special experience. You get to meet other athletes, you get to watch other events, and you get to see just how much effort and you know, how hard the other, you know, athletes train in their sport and the dedication they have. So I have a lot of respect for Olympic athletes.
Sure.
And, you know, it's obviously cool to watch some of the events.
What's your second favorite event at the Olympics, the Winter Games after hockey?
I don't know. I think it's pretty neat to see those downhill skiers when they go flying down.
They're out of their minds.
You think? Yeah, they're going.
They're out of their minds. 80 miles an hour on skis. You know what I love? I love that snowboard thing.
The snowboard cross.
Snowboard cross, oh, yeah. Where you got six people going at the same time. It's bananas. I could watch that all day.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a neat one.
So, all right, before we let you go, you know, Corey Crawford not being in the net, that's a big deal. That's a big difference. And Forsberg, mm-hmm. I think Forsberg's going to be a really good goalie. Maybe an A-line top flight goalie, but he hasn't had enough reps. He'll get there, I think. When Glass was here, it was a tough position for him to be in. But you and the defenders, you guys, the back line guys, you have so much communication with the goalie and stuff. That's got to be a big deal for you guys, too, that he's not been in the net.
Well, I think our whole team benefits from, you know, obviously Corey being in net, and we all know how good he is and how much he means to our team, especially with the last two cup wins that we've had and how instrumental he's been in that success. So it's tougher, but, you know, like you said, I think, you know, Jeff Glass and Forsberg, they've come in and they've given us a chance. And so I just think that it's always tough, and it's never a good thing if you're relying on the goalie as much as we have. So, yeah, that's a team problem, and there's no doubt that we've missed Corey, but, you know, other teams have missed great players and had injuries to players.
Yeah, that's true.
Along the way. So I don't think there's a reason to, you know, to give excuses. And then, like I said, at the end of the day, if we're relying on our goaltender that much, that's never a good thing.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah. I'll let you go on this. How do you keep your legs in a position to still play the number of minutes you have now that you're one of the old guys on the team?
Well, I think it just comes down to the training that I end up doing in the off seasons. I think that's really just, you know, just keeping at it and sticking with it. And, you know, I guess there's a little bit of being scared to lose it. So
there you go.
You know, I never want to, let my foot off the gas. So I feel like I've always been dedicated in the off season to training hard and keeping my legs strong. And, you know, I'm sure be at it again.
Yeah, and of course, you got extra incentive now because your son's watching you and coaching you, and you don't want to cross him.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
he cracks the whip on me in the morning.
That's exactly right. Hey, Bruce Phelan, I believe that's right, sent in the MB Financial Bank, MB Means Business fan question. Says, in all the games you've played from the time you were a little kid through the juniors, before you got to the Hawks and after the Hawks, right through today, is there one game that stands out, your favorite game of all time?
I don't know. I mean, there's so many games. I mean, I've got games as a child. I'd probably have a handful of different games that maybe stick out. I remember as a kid, we played in a tournament, and it was down to the championship game, and we were in the finals, and it was overtime, and every 2 minutes they would take a player off.
Oh, really? So
we got down to 2-on-2 in the championship game, and then I looked at my buddy, and it was me and a guy named Kevin Webb, and we looked at each other, and I said we got to end this, because I had a feeling I would have been the last guy out there. I didn't want to be 1-on-1, you know, for the whole tournament. I would have. So he won the draw back to me, and I chipped it over to him and went beelined it straight to the net. He passed it to me, and I finished it off. So I mean, that was when we were 12 years old and won the championship. It was pretty.
Isn't that cool? That's a great story. Well, I love that you still remember that. That's a great story. Well, congrats to Bruce. Bruce gets an autographed Chicago Blackhawks hockey puck from MB Financial Bank. MB Means Business. And before all the tickets are gone, get yours for Keith Relief, featuring low cash and a whole bunch of good times, really reasonably priced too. $80 general admission, $275 gets you the pre-concert VIP situation. A lot of Hawks will be there. You can meet the band and a bunch of other people as well. It's Keith Relief doing a good thing again this year. And tickets on sale now. The show itself is Monday night, February 26th. DuncanKeith.com/Keith-Relief-Concert, or just Google up Duncan Keith Concert and you'll get it there. Appreciate the time, man. Go get one tonight.
I appreciate it too, guys. Thanks for having me.
See you later.
Thanks.
Duncan Keith from your Chicago Blackhawks. I love that his son goes, what, are you trying to lose?
he's saying what... I think anyone who's watched this team probably is, why, what? What
the mouths happened? Of babes, right? Yep.
I like his response, though. No.
Nope. Yeah. No.
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 Nope. Son.
No. CLTV joins us next. We'll come back with that, get your news, too, in the 9 o'clock hour, and just ahead on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I like digging holes and hiding things inside them. When I grow old, I hope I won't forget to find them. Cause I've got memories and travel like gypsies in the night. I build a home and wait for someone to tear it down. Then pack it up in boxes, head for the next town running. Cause I've got memories and travel like gypsies in the night.
9:14, the Steve Cochran Show continues. I got an event Saturday night that I tell you about every year, but I want you to be aware of it and why it matters. The 13th annual benefit and silent auction for Rebecca's Dream. We'll get to that in just a second, but who do you want to thank for the food?
We have to say a huge thank you to Veggie Grill. Just opened in Chicago here, right by us. And they brought in some Santa Fe crispy chicken, their VG Beyond burger, and some gluten-free chocolate brownies and chocolate chip cookies for you.
You also were just trying their cauliflower.
Yeah, it was fried cauliflower. It was very, very, very tasty.
And what Andrea said was, at least it's fried. And I thought I thought that would be a great name for a restaurant. At least
at
it's
least
fried.
It's fried. Very, very tasty. So we want to thank them. The newest restaurant is the brand's 29th location. It's at Diverse at 614 West Diversity in Lakeview, and it marks the very first in a series expansion outside of the West Coast.
What's your website?
I believe it's
at least it's fried.com.
At least exactly.
Give them a plug, whatever it is, when you find it.
Okay.
And this is not, now normally when there's food in the Showcase studio, Steve Grzanich busts a move down here and runs over volunteers and little people and people touring the historic Tribune Tower to get to an elevator. But when I mentioned cauliflower and things, Steve, you don't seem to be on the way down.
So it is fried.
It is fried. Steve, the Santa Fe crispy, the Santa Fe chicken is spicy and it's fried as well.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
It's veggiegrill.com.
By the way, it's chicken in quotes.
Uh-oh, wait. What?
Yes.
So it's not real chicken?
No. No, listen, like, this food is healthy. It's good for you. These are fine people. Lovely lady that just brought the food in. This came up because a week or so ago, I was talking about the fact that cauliflower is not one of my favorite things. Mm-hmm. And when the people from Veggie Grow were listening. Mm-hmm. So they brought the food over. Very nice of them.
Very, very, very tasty. Nice.
You know, and I don't want to scare anybody, but I've been eating healthy lately since the beginning of the year.
What? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know. Been trying to count calories, watch what I eat.
Yeah.
It's probably why I didn't run down there this morning.
Steve, there's crispy fries, too.
I'm on my way.
It's 9:16, still to come, Rokan. Troy Murray has got a special night. Is that tonight?
It is tonight.
We'll talk to Troy coming up in a little, just a little bit. 13 years ago, lost one of my best friends in life, Rebecca Cutler. And the scourge of bipolar disorder and depression in this country is the reason Rebecca's dream is so important. And this Saturday night, we celebrate the dream, the 13th annual benefit and silent auction, and I always invite Rebecca's mom and dad on, Norm and Gail Cutler, who will join me now. Let me start with Gail. Good morning, Gail. How are you?
Good morning, Steve.
Nice
How
to
are you.
Nice to talk to you. You know, these are always the circumstances we don't want to discuss things over, but this is a very important thing. We want to plug it. Obviously.
Yes, this is true. Unfortunately. It's still important.
Let me get Norm in here as well in our fancy phone system here. Good morning, Norm.
Good morning, Steve.
All right, so let's start with Rebecca's dream. And Gail, tell people what Rebecca's dream was and why we celebrate it.
Rebecca's dream was actually truly Rebecca's dream. She lived with and suffered from depression and bipolar for the vast majority of her young life. She died at 30. But it was her dream to educate the populace. Actually, she, you know, Becky had big plans, and she wanted to educate the world that we need compassion and understanding, education, to let people know that these diseases are real. They're not made up. They didn't come out of her head or anyone else's head. No one wakes up in the morning and says, gee, I think I'm going to have a little depression and bipolar today. And it was really Becky's fervent desire to bring compassionate understanding to the world regarding not only depression and bipolar disease, but mental illness in general.
Yeah, and Norm, you can speak to the amazing people that you and Gail and the organization have met and interacted with over the past 13 years that you wouldn't have met otherwise in life. And that's one of her legacies and really a gift.
Well, you know, we've met people that everyone would know to people who almost no one knows, and all of them have the same thing, from the late Patty Duke,
Patrick Kennedy.
Yeah, who made some news in a speech he just made. And as you said, a lot of regular folks, because the thing about bipolar disorder and depression, it doesn't discriminate. It can affect anybody. It doesn't matter if you make money, don't make money. Doesn't matter if you're pretty, not so pretty, tall, short, skinny, fat, whatever. And Gail, you know, we talk about this every year, and you guys do it every day at the foundation. You don't snap out of it. You don't walk it off. You don't, you got so much to live for. Hey, how come you don't smile enough? That's not how it works. We need to treat this with the same seriousness we treat everything else.
Yes, and those words, well, for heaven's sake, just pull yourself up by your bootstraps, doesn't fly.
So at the foundation, one of the things I've always been most really respected about what you guys do and what you guys have built is it's kind of a peer-to-peer counseling situation where if somebody is dealing with depression or bipolar, they can talk to somebody who understands that walk, right?
Yes, absolutely. And we have several programs that we've taken, that we've written ourselves and taken into the middle schools and the high schools. For the students and for the parents, because we really feel at Rebecca's Dream, we feel very strongly that if we start teaching parents about the signs and symptoms of depression and bipolar early on, they'll be able to spot their children who are in need much earlier and seek help much more quickly.
Yeah, and speaking of parents, Norm, what do you want to say to moms and dads that are listening that are, you know, really sad or struggling with the fact that their kids are struggling?
You're not alone. You need to, the best thing to do would be to find a way to meet with parents of other kids who have the same thing. and to understand. I know I had a great deal of difficulty understanding what Becky was going through.
Right.
So it's been 13 years, Steve. It's the 13th benefit, and it's the 13th time that you've emceed. I think that's an incredible thing, and we thank you.
Oh, believe me, no need to thank me, because I get it, and you know how much she meant to me, and it's just, you know, we were all lucky to have her for 30 years, but the world is a better place because she was here and because of what you guys continue to do with the foundation going forward. Andrea?
I want to say to Norm Antigale, your website is excellent, rebeccasdream.org, and what got me, we addressed the adults earlier, but especially teenagers, 1 in 8 teenagers suffers from depression or a mood disorder. So,
and frankly, the number is probably higher. That's the statistically
right.
quantifiable.
Yeah,
number.
Yeah. So if you see a young adult, or even if a young adult is listening right now, that this shows there is hope for them. You know, you're not alone. It's not just a mood swing.
Right. Absolutely. Thank you. And thank you for the call out for our website. It really is one of our major tools.
That's great.
That parents and kids can use. It's friendly. It's a very friendly, usable website. And I know Becky would be very proud of it.
And friends of parents and kids who suffer, because it's just as important that the network that these people suffer within has a better understanding of what they're going through.
There's strength in numbers, and there's survival in numbers. People don't need to be alone. They need to be with other people. And I guess I'd wrap it with this for now, and that is that if somebody comes to you and they're struggling, it's a really hard thing to hear. But instead of going with the basic human instinct, which, by the way, doesn't make you a bad person, but if you're avoiding the instinct of saying, oh, come on now, oh, come on, smile. You don't have to be so sad. Come on, let's think about all the great things going on in your life. Stop that. Stop that and just stop down and say, what is it that's making you so sad? How can I help? Why don't we check out the website, rebeccasdream.org. There's great resources there. And let's talk this out, because I want to hear why you're hurting. That's a really powerful move, and that's what I'd recommend.
Excellent. Yes, and that's what we would recommend. And using Rebecca's own words, compassionate understanding is what is needed most of all.
We have any tickets left for Saturday?
Excuse me?
Any tickets left for Saturday night, do you know?
There really are no tickets left, but we do have raffle bundles.
Let's go, people. Let's go.
And anyone can make a donation. We're never going to turn that away.
Absolutely. You want to help in honor of somebody in your life or yourself, or you just want to help because maybe you knew Rebecca Cutler. She was a regular guest on the show for a couple of years at least, 3-4 years.
Yes.
So go to the website, rebeccasdream.org. And I love you guys, and I'll see you Saturday.
Thank you, Steve, very much. We love you, too.
There you go, the Cutlers.
Bye-bye. Go eat that cauliflower.
Oh, stop it now.
It's fried.
Go to your room. That's Kale and Norm Cutler. Incredibly brave and terrific people. And Rebecca's brother, Brett, and her sister-in-law, and her nieces, nephews. It's a great family.
Yeah,
really
they awesome. Absolutely are.
And there was always something obviously special about maybe the greatest player in the history of the game. And you look at a guy like Wayne Gretzky. We're talking between the benches, and I said, hey, Wayne, it's one thing I never did when we were playing against one another was ask you for your stick during a game. And he kind of laughed. He says, well, you should have. You were always holding it.
Good comeback.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Tonight, one last shift. Who are we kidding? He's in great shape. He's a handsome devil. One last shift. This feels very ceremonial to me. You know he's going to play in the, quote, old-timers game, the alumni game. He's out there all the time.
They don't call it old-timers.
No, not anymore. Occasionally, he'll stop when he's driving home. He sees a couple of kids on a sheet of ice. He'll go and he'll forecheck them. He'll knock them right to the ground.
Drive them right to the boards.
Yeah. Troy Murray joins us. Good morning, my friend.
Guys.
You know how you are. You'll stop and get involved with the kids'
you
game.
You guys are beauties. You're just beauties there.
What was your last official NHL shift? When? ballpark it.
It'd be the 96 Cup Final against the Florida Panthers.
Pretty good way to go out.
Yeah.
And tonight, have you practiced skated lately?
I started working out yesterday, so I should be good to go.
The muscles don't remember, do they?
What?
Yeah, the muscles start going, wait, what are we doing here? I thought we were done with this.
You know what? It was probably about maybe 5 years ago, and I was playing an alumni game. Our alumni, you know, over the past have skated on the Friday nights, you know, during the winter time. And I went out there one time with them, just the local guys and some of our associate members. And there was a puck in front of me, and the brain said, go get it. And the legs just said, nope.
Yeah, puck, you looked at the puck and you said, that's somebody else's problem.
Yeah, that was the moment. That was the same moment as you pull your kid's homework away because you realize that you need reading glasses.
That was the aha moment.
Troy, didn't you play last year in the alumni game at the stadium game at Minnesota?
Last year was the outdoor game at St. Louis.
I'm going the year before, I guess.
Yeah, two years ago was Minnesota.
Yeah, Minnesota. I love playing in those games. Love playing in those games. Great to see the old guys that we played against and hated so much and all that is, you know, water under the bridge, and we went out and had some good times, both in St. Louis and Minnesota. It was wonderful to see those old guys that used to play against.
Who was the biggest, when you were playing, who was the biggest chirper, a guy you saw regularly that you just couldn't stand?
Dino Cicerelli.
I knew it was coming.
I nailed it.
Yeah. I knew it was coming.
I heard somebody whisper that underneath.
That was me. Was he in that game at Minnesota? Did he play against you?
He came back and played.
So did you just take a run at him in that game?
No.
It
was one of these things that I played on the World Championship, Canadian World Championship team back in the mid to late 80s. And this was when our rivalry with the North Stars was right there at the top. And got over there, and Minnesota was out. We were out. So he was on the team, and I was on the team. What a great guy. Man, I really didn't want to like you, but I do.
Here's the thing. Dino went through a rough patch in his life. And when I was in Minneapolis for like 5 years, late 80s, early 90s, I'm almost positive I'm right about this. He went out to get the paper one morning without his pants, and that caused a little stir in his neighborhood. But he got his act together. He pulled himself together, and I'm pretty sure he's got a good life going now.
I think he had a robe on.
All right, good cover. All right, so look
at social media. Darn social media.
Yeah, exactly. Look, I know you, and I want you to enjoy this tonight, but I feel like, and tell me if I'm wrong, I feel like it's a little awkward, right? When you're skating around, and I mean, do you know what to do? Do you raise the stick? How do you really get in the moment here?
I haven't got that far yet. The farthest I've got right now is making sure that I take my skate guards off before I go on to the ice. I've got to that point right now.
Well, that does seem like an important part of the act.
You know what I do want to do, though? And I actually did think of this, is hopefully, and I'm going to talk to Quenneville this morning to make sure this happens, I want Jonathan Toews to be out there on the ice, because that's the guy I'm going to go stand next to. 219s kind of thing. You think that's cool?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. It's very cool.
The old and the young.
The before and after.
the real after.
No, I know. After. I know how thrilled he is to have your number, and eventually you'll take it back. Listen, congratulations, man. You deserve it. I hope you have nothing but fun tonight, and the building's going to be roaring for Troy Murray. So thanks for jumping on.
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys. I'm excited about it. Should be a lot of fun.
I just have one question. How are you going to get back upstairs to the booth? I mean, do you have to go change? Are you going to go up in full gear?
Wait a minute. Are you actually worried that Weideman's not going to have enough to say? When was the last time John Weideman ran out of words?
We have a broadcast to do tonight. I just want to make sure that Troy's going to be there.
John's excited not to have me around.
Have fun, man.
All right. Thanks, guys.
See you later.
Appreciate coming on.
Appreciate you being on. Give me John Weideman. Weideman will go. Until Troy comes back, I'd like to tell you something.
Yes, tell stories.
Yeah.
Move Bowden in there for a little bit. How about, so when Taves and Troy are both out there side by side, that's number, they add up to Ryan Hartman, right?
All right. So could you smack him? Because yeah, I can't reach him from
I'm here. Here you go. Ready?
We need a break. Breaking the headlines. Is that the plan? Next on 720 WGN. Live from, I don't know, his house? There you are. Where are you?
My house, yeah.
Ro Khan, everybody. Hi, Ro.
Thank you very much, Steve.
I was thinking about you this morning when I was looking through some show prep. Tell me how much this story sounds like.
Wait. What is that?
Show prep. It's the thing you do before you go on the air.
Oh.
The average American has 60 bad days a year. You can get that number up, can't you, Ro?
Oh, I do. That's it. Wait, 60 bad days a year?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's 365 days in the year, right?
Yeah, you're just not trying if you're only...
They're missing 305 days. I don't know what that's about.
And I shouldn't say that. You don't really have bad days. You just have stress.
Yeah, I make things probably bigger than they actually are. Right. I've been told that by many
ex-professionals.
Ex-wives. yes, exactly. All of those, yeah. Failed romantic relationships and medical professionals.
What do you worry about most? I mean, I know you worry about your health, but what do you worry about other than that?
Hold on, it's not my first day.
I'm a professional. I'm going to ask you these kind of questions.
Hold on. Whatever seems like it's just going wrong.
End of the world? Worry about the end of the world?
I do sometimes.
Yeah. Yes.
I do now more than I ever have.
Sure. Worry about politicians.
I do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bad behavior.
Yeah. That type of thing.
By them. I mean, I accept my own bad behavior. I don't accept their bad behavior because I figure that, you know, the Russians are behind it.
Mm-hmm.
I worry about the Russians. I have new things. I used to, when I was a kid, I grew up worrying about the Russians because I grew up in a Cold War household, right? As a lot of us did. And now I'm back to worrying about them.
Now, I'm 56. What are you, 54, 53?
54, yeah.
54.
Or 53, going to be 54.
Yeah, and both of us claim we're 35. Mm-hmm. But do you worry? I've turned into be a bit of a germaphobe. Are you getting more germphobic as you get older?
More. Oh, my God. I grew up in a house that had everything was wrapped in plastic. Everything.
Including you?
Oh.
Yeah.
It was my mother's house.
Yeah. I mean, not only was, you know, I mean, the people of a certain age, all of their furniture was wrapped in plastic. That was just kind of normal because they, you know, those are all people that touched the Depression, so they wanted to keep things, right?
Yeah.
So that was very important.
My mother would always say, I want to save it for best. And she got to be about 75, and I went, Mom, best is right now.
Yeah.
Right now, this is best.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Right. Right. As a matter of fact, the last second was best. Wait, no, 2 minutes ago, that was best.
This is best.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had plastic. I was sometimes I believe that they were doing this for medical purposes only, but I was sometimes wrapped in Saran wrap as a child just so that I wouldn't touch things.
I remember, this is a good feeling too, like if you were ever athletic, and when I was playing ball in high school, I remember coming home. Yeah, it was high school, it was big. I was coming home and my parents weren't home, and I ended up going to like my cousin's house or something, and we were just hanging out. So I flop on his couch, and I was, you know, apparently still a little sweaty from working out or playing ball. Slid right off the couch. It was plastic.
Oh.
Hit it and whoop.
Yeah.
Just hit the couch and went whoop. Oh. Whoop. Right off the couch.
There was nothing less comfortable than sitting on a plastic encased couch.
Yeah.
Just nothing worse.
Especially in shorts when it was 80 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Or in the winter, too.
Slid right off.
Andrea, there was like a static thing, you could actually see the static around you.
It's true.
Yeah. Every hair in your body, including hairs that you don't want to talk about, are all standing up.
Now, in other news, I believe I've solved road rage for everybody. Last night, I'm working out a little late. Yeah, I was working out. Okay, I was working out a little bit late, and I leave, and I get in the car to leave, and I'm in the Chevy Tahoe.
White lightning.
Oh boy, is he generous today? And I'm backing out, and I'm in no man's land now because I got a car behind me, and I got a car like in front of me that's trying to get. So I'm stuck in my spot, right? So I'm out, and I notice brake lights from a car about to back out of another spot. Well, don't back up. Don't back up. Don't back up. Starts to back up. And I'm on the phone with Sandberg at the time. And after I got done cursing, I'm hitting the horn, hitting the horn, hitting the horn. Guy ran right into me.
Oh.
Backed right into me. Yeah.
We didn't know this.
Yeah. So I got out of the car. Here's the cure.
Oh, wait. Are you okay?
How's the white lightning?
Well, the white lightning's fine. But I didn't know that at the time. But I got out of the car, and instead of road rage, I just said, guess you didn't hear the horn, huh? And the guy could have amped it up at that point, right? If he's just being a guy and he goes, well, it's your fault or whatever, you know, with the associated cursing.
Right.
And then I get the testosterone kick in, and then I'm going to have to yell at him, and he's going to have to yell at me. And eventually we're going to grab baseball bats and hit each other over the head.
Not going to be pretty.
But he said, oh, I'm so sorry. And I said, no, it's all right. And at this point, rainy ice pellets are hitting us on the head. He's in shorts.
Oh.
And he's trying to apologize. I just hate being that guy. I go, it's fine. There's no damage. And I'm backing up, trying to get back in my car to leave. I'm going, no, seriously, it's okay. But he was nice about it. I was calm about it. Nobody got hurt.
Look at that.
Good.
Cooler heads.
He sounded very irritated because I was on the phone with him. The horn started going crazy.
Yeah, and let's hear the real truth.
I said, is everything okay? And he's like, ah, somebody just hit me.
Yeah.
And then because he's my boss, I said, well, do you want me to stay on the line or do you want to call me back?
I said, I want you to get here immediately. I may need medical attention.
Yeah, so no, he said, I'll call you back, you know. Just what I needed or one of those type of phrases. And right. Then he headed out. So
you have to be careful. Did you see the video over the weekend of the road rage thing? I forget where it was, where the guy got out of the car, yelled at the other motorist. They're like on an expressway.
Yeah, and a dash cam picked it up from somebody else.
The dash cam picked it up, and then the one car tried to peel around the other car, sideswiped it, and flipped.
Yeah.
Right?
No.
See? Yeah.
I got hit. I got T-boned, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, downtown here. I don't remember the street. But I did the crazy thing where the light was green and I kept going. A woman came across the intersection, threw a red light.
Of course, it had to be a woman.
T-boned me. Well, it didn't have to be. She just happened to be driving the car. And I get out of the car and she starts laying into me.
Well, it's probably your fault.
Well, no, I was a green light.
I know. I'm just
so what happened? The front of her car gets literally torn off. The bumper is like hanging off. So within a couple of minutes, I'm duct taping her bumper back onto her car so she can drive back to Indiana.
I
think I'm just the most.
Did she ask you for money?
By the way, she wasn't from Indiana. I just told her go to Indiana.
Why did you have duct tape in your car? That's another question.
I'm a man. You never know when you're going to need duct tape. Okay.
I think Rose implying that she's a scammer.
No, she wasn't.
Well, when you hear that, I need to get back to Indiana. That's that's a total scam here in Chicago.
Yeah.
But I don't.
She'd already dropped her guns off and she was headed back.
All right, no. That's a little stereotypical.
The T-bone thing, though, in Chicago, I have a friend who used to work overnights here as a state's attorney. You know, they go out and they go to crime scenes or they go to police stations.
He was an overnight state's attorney?
Yeah, overnight. It's called felony review. They go to where the police have arrested somebody.
Was he hoping to get mornings or afternoons at one point? Or
he eventually did morning drive.
He was the Nick he was the Nick DiGilio of attorneys.
Yes, that's right. Well, there's a whole group of them out there, and and he told me, man, driving, because you know they drive in, sometimes they drive in their own cars. You're driving the streets in the middle of the night. You don't ever go through an intersection without stopping. Doesn't matter if the light's green.
Really?
It doesn't matter if there's stop signs. Doesn't matter if you think there's no one around. Always slow down before you go through an intersection.
Really?
In this town. Yeah. That's why it takes me 4 hours to get to work, and I live a mile away.
That I believe.
I sometimes get out and push my car through the intersection. Mm-hmm. I'm that scared.
Actually, there's people all over Chicago, when they know it's row, they throw themselves in front of the car. Oh, he hit me!
You know, they say the lights are timed. They know it's like row time.
That's the last time we saw Jim Johnson. He threw himself in front of Row's car.
Oh,
we like Jim. We like Jim. All right, what are you doing today?
We've got things. First of all, we're giving away more invitations to our live show at the Saturday Night Live exhibit, Museum Broadcast.
Oh, you know what you got to do, dude? I'm serious about this. Go up on stage where the walkout is at the beginning of the show. Mm-hmm. They've got the exact set where the walkout is. Get a picture of yourself. The lighting's fantastic. Get a picture of yourself on stage like you're doing the monologue. You'll love it. It's a great photo.
Well, we're going to open the show from there. We're going to play Jeopardy. We're going to play. Yeah. We're going to actually play News or Ruse on the Jeopardy set.
Very Rebecca? Cool.
Yes. And
the category is words that start with R. Is it tank?
Our tank.
What is a anal tank?
The great Sean Connery bit from Jeopardy.
Sean Connery and Norm Macdonald as Burt Reynolds. That's all you need.
Yeah. Anal bum cover for $400, Alex. That's an album cover.
So great. So tremendous. All right. So when is that show?
That show is coming up on the 5th. It's a week from Monday.
Okay.
It's jumping up on us.
And you can still get tickets.
Yes, and it's a limited, as you know, it's a limited amount of people that we can bring with us.
Right.
And because the museum's going to be closed that day.
Yep.
So it's going to be sort of like an afternoon at the museum.
Yeah, and a private show.
I'm going to be chased by a gigantic Garfield goose. It's going to just chase me down in the hallway.
And then you'll find out it's actually Dean in an outfit.
I always suspected that.
And don't you have another live show somewhere else coming up?
I believe, I don't know, we're giving anything away here yet. I believe that we're all going to be at the Rate for opening day of the White Sox.
Yeah. Did you know the Guaranteed Rate mascots were running around the building yesterday?
I saw, you know what, we were told that. In our little
they're like
meeting.
They're like giant numbers that run around, giant foam numbers that run around.
To don't be afraid if you see these guys. I'm like, really? Do you see what else is on Michigan Avenue? A bunch of guys dressed in foam suits are not my biggest problem.
It's not an issue. Right. It's really not. All right, say hi to Anna. We'll talk to you later.
We will.
That's Rope Con. We're back with Steve Bertrand doing the news in a few.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Bill and Wendy are here because it's a time for them to do their show. And then at noon, they do this online thing with something we like to call the internet.
There's no rules on the internet, Steve.
Yeah. The language
it's
out of
the Wild team. West.
It's oddly enough, it's Bill on the stream. I call it Bill Leff Unleashed.
Yep. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
And that leads into Adam Hogue and his wacky Sports Central.
Who knows what he does?
Right.
He's
and then after that, it's cooking kale with Dave.
Yeah,
yes, it is.
Dave comes on with some kale recipes.
No rules, just right.
Yes, right. Yes.
Right. We call it getting kooky with kale.
Yeah,
I like kale. I had a kale salad at my niece's, and it was pretty good.
One bad. See, Wendy, thank you because that's what I tell these guys every morning, and they don't believe me.
You know, you don't have to eat the stuff that falls on the floor. You can eat the stuff that's still on the counter.
I like kale if it's massaged. You know, with oil.
It's the world out of Little Debbie stuff. Because you could have Little Debbie stuff.
I don't want Little Debbie.
You can have
Little
Big Debbie stuff.
Nothing against
Big
Little Debbie.
Debbie.
Yeah, Big Debbie stuff is fun as well.
Love Big Debbie.
When you eat too much Little Debbie, that's what happens.
Yeah,
that's
you become Big Debbie.
That was like White Lightning. White Give Lightning. It up now.
Yeah, yes. That's a new version of White Lightning.
All right, their show.
This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago. You're like the Doublemint twins, you two.
Yeah.
And WGNRadio.com.